We're in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Going to be finishing up the chapter tonight. Verses 6 through 16. Going to be talking about God's wisdom for the mature spiritual man, and not for the carnal man. Let's pray once again. Father, we turn to you and we give you our attention. We pray now that you would give us your spirit so that we could understand and comprehend what you're speaking, what you're sharing through your word this evening. Pray that you'd bless this time, anoint it, and use it for your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so far, Paul's been talking a lot about the wisdom of the world, world's wisdom. He's saying that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, according to the world's standard of wisdom. It's foolishness, and it's supposed to be. That's the way it works. And he says, when I spoke to you, I didn't use the world's wisdom. I didn't use fancy speech. I didn't try to sound intelligent. I was very simple and real. But here, he begins to bring up the point that they didn't misunderstand, that God's word and God's desire for us is not all one level. It's not all simple. He's going to talk in the rest of this chapter about the deep things of God, the wisdom of God, as opposed to the wisdom of this world. In verse 6, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The wisdom of God in comparison to the wisdom of this world. I think he's trying to encourage the church in Corinth, the readers of this letter, to get a desire to go deeper. He speaks of this wisdom, this hidden wisdom, this wisdom as in a mystery, something to learn, something that hasn't been learned, something hidden. He speaks to the mature about the deep things of God. So he's saying, we accept this simple message of the gospel, but we don't stay satisfied with a simple plane. But we strive to go deeper into the things of Christ. Not deeper in world's intellect, the wisdom of this world, but deeper into God's wisdom. And he speaks about that. We're going to do a little scripture hopping. You can follow along if you'd like. If you go to Colossians 1, speaking of this topic of going deeper in the understanding and knowledge and wisdom of God, it's a biblical concept. God desires us to go deep. We're going to look at that. If you could turn to Colossians 1, if you'd like, chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes to the church of Colossae, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See, God desires us to grow. And he desires us to grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. How does that play out? The knowledge of God. He wants us to know him better each day as we grow in him. He wants us to understand him better. He wants us to learn him better. And he wants us to go deeper in God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things, God's wisdom. In Hebrews, if you turn to Hebrews, which is a couple books to the right of Colossians, it's a bigger book, chapter 6, verse 1, the author of Hebrews writes, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. For this we will to do if God permits. For it is impossible..." That's it. "For this we will to do if God permits," verses 1 through 4. So, you ever think that you go to church and you have your own personal time, you're studying the Bible, you're reading, you ever think you're going over the same things over and over again? You ever get that idea? Sometimes I think that. I've been here. In Hebrews, the author is saying, let us leave the elementary things. Let us not go over and over again the doctrines of baptism and repentance, the things that we've learned. Let's not make this a mental exercise of going over and over the same ideas. Instead, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper into the wisdom of God. Let's grow. This idea of growth. In 1 Timothy, John a couple weeks ago talked about how Paul, talking to Timothy, said that he should promote and teach doctrine that accords with godliness. See, we should grow in our understanding. We should grow in our behavior, living a godly life. See, a growth in our knowledge and our understanding and the wisdom of God affects our lifestyle. And Paul telling Timothy, strive to understand and to teach and a doctrine that affects your life. In 1 John, John writes, he says, "These things I write to you so that you may know that you have eternal life." So that you may know that you have eternal life. You ever read that and think, well, I don't know. Well, we've got to learn to know more. That's why he wrote the letter. And that's what God desires of us. You see, when we first come to Christ, our assurance in him needs to grow, needs to develop. And a mature believer knows that he has eternal life. And he begins to really accept certain spiritual principles as his faith is secured and matured. So here Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, is encouraging the readers. Oh, it's time to grow up. It's time to go deeper. It's time to learn more. And not according to intellectual exercises, not getting smarter about the Bible, not memorizing passages, but really connecting and going deeper in the wisdom of God. He's going to expound upon that. You know, the Bible talks oftentimes, Paul and other writers, frustrated with the readers because of their immaturity. We're going to look at that next week. And how Paul's frustrated. You guys are immature. You're babes. In Hebrews 6, the same thing. You should be eating solid food by now. You're drinking milk. And there's a frustration in scriptures with the believers that don't grow, that don't mature. There's a frustration voiced in scriptures about ignorance. The Bible teaches, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of many different things. So, God wants us to learn more. He wants us to grow more in a spiritual way, according to the wisdom of God, the knowledge and understanding of God. So we're going to continue to develop that through this chapter. This wisdom is contrasted with the wisdom of this world. He's already said that it's not about this wisdom of the world. In fact, God likes to take the wisdom of the world and bring it to nothing. He likes to prove that it's not enough. And he does that often. He'll take the smartest concept and ideas that the world can come up with, and he'll allow them to fail. He'll even cause them to fail, proving that that's not the answer. That's not how one is saved. That's not where hope comes from, the wisdom of man. Anything this world has to offer, anything we can do for ourselves. So he's contrasting. Look again in the verse 6. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. So he's saying this is a different kind of wisdom. It's not the wisdom of this age. In verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Paul's saying, not only is it different, you can't even experience it according to world's wisdom. He's saying your eyes, your ears, your heart, your mind, these things won't help you. This isn't how you receive the wisdom of God. You don't see something. That's how the wisdom of the world works. We use our eyes. We use our ears. We contemplate in our hearts and in our minds. And we come up with ideas. Scientific methods. God says no. Paul says, your eye can't see it. Your ears can't hear it. Your heart cannot receive it. It doesn't work that way. It's different than a worldly kind of wisdom. In verse 13, he says, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. It can't be received in the same way of regular wisdom, with your eyes or ears or mind, nor can it be conveyed or taught in the same way. He says, we don't teach that way. We don't teach with man's wisdom. And finally, in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the conclusion, our natural man, the normal person, can't receive God's wisdom. So Paul's trying to work something up here. God wants you to grow. He wants to give you wisdom. But you can't receive it as a natural person. You can't use your ears or your eyes. It can't be taught according to a worldly system, according to man's wisdom. You need to get it a different way. It's different than the wisdom of this world. He also brings up an interesting point. Look again in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, nor of the rulers of this age. This is an interesting study, this word rulers. And it reemphasizes, if you look in verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew. for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So Paul here saying, the rulers, the leaders, the kings and those in authority, all the prominent people, and not just people. In fact, you study this word, this Greek word in the New Testament, and it comes up. There's rulers of the Jews talked about. There's rulers of the Gentiles talked about. Kings as rulers. But then Jesus said, when he was talking to his disciples, he says, the prince of this world has come for me, and he has nothing in me. He was speaking of Satan, if you look at the text in John. And he uses this same Greek word, ruler, the ruler of this world, Satan. The Pharisees accused Jesus, hey, you cast out demons by the ruler of demons, this same word. And then Paul uses the word too when he says, the prince of the power of the air, speaking again of Satan. So when he says, this wisdom is not a worldly wisdom, nor is it of the rulers of this age. He's speaking of the people that rule planet Earth, and he's speaking of the spirits behind them, and he's speaking of Satan, who is the ruler of this world, the ruler of this age. And he says, you know what? Satan and the demons and all the rulers and their positions can't understand this wisdom. They don't get it. It goes right over their head. And he uses a story to explain this. He talks about Jesus and how Jesus was crucified on the cross. You see, the rulers of this world, led by Satan, crucified Jesus. They were behind it. Jesus looked at Judas Iscariot, and he says, what you do, do quickly. And Satan entered Judas Iscariot and led the arrest of Jesus. Jesus said, okay, Satan, have at it. Arrest me. Do whatever you got planned, go ahead and do it. And Satan said, oh boy, I'm going to kill you. And he got together and he summoned the rulers of this world. He influenced the leaders of the Sanhedrin and Pilate himself, and he crucified Jesus. But he didn't understand. See, the wisdom of God went right over his head. Because in crucifying Jesus, he gave Jesus victory over him. He beat himself. And he had no idea that was going to happen. So Paul's trying to tell us here, this wisdom that God wants to give you, it defeats the wisdom of this world. It's greater than... You don't think that all the members of the Sanhedrin weren't smart enough? They had great intellect. They had high IQs. They had good reasoning capabilities. But it totally went by them. See, they too were enemies of Jesus. They crucified Jesus. Jesus rose again. They didn't effectively take out the competition, did they? Jesus came back. And the movement that Christianity today is alive and well, they beat themselves too. It went right over their heads. You don't think Pilate was intelligent? And yet, you read through the story of the Gospels, there were some people that seemed to understand. You look at John the Baptist, out in the wilderness eating locusts and honey. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Why would he call him the Lamb of God? He was telling his disciples in John chapter 3. He's saying, he must increase and I must decrease. You see, that's the Son of God. And he who believes in him has eternal life. The members of the Sanhedrin, Pilate, they would all say, that's crazy. That's stupid. But guess what? It was right. He tapped into something. He seen the wisdom of God. This is the Lamb of God. This is the sacrifice that God sent, the Lamb, to pay the penalty. If you believe in this Son of God, you will be saved. He understood the wisdom of God. You think he was smarter than the Sanhedrin? No. That's how this wisdom works, you see, in God's way of doing things, and this is how he likes to do it. As he says, he doesn't choose many wise. He chooses to prove himself in his wisdom greater than the wise. And how someone can be a genius, a savant. He can have all the intellectual capabilities. He could even have 100% of his mind working to its full capacity. All the wisdom of the world. Solomon, wisest man in the world. He could understand all the wisdom of the world and not get the wisdom of God. It can go right over his head, or probably more accurately, right over his spirit. And so you read Ecclesiastes and you get the idea that, you know what? Solomon was missing something. This is the smartest man in the world, and he's missing something. He missed it. He misunderstood something. And that's the wisdom of God. And yet, you can have someone that is not very intelligent. Maybe didn't graduate. Maybe has a learning disability, or is even illiterate. A child. And they can tap in and believe in Jesus. And they can dive deep into the wisdom of God. And they can get it. And Paul's saying that's much greater. That wisdom they're tapping into is going to bring all the wisdom of the world to shame. This is cool stuff. One more quick scripture before we go to the next point. In Ephesians, speaking of the demons and the rulers of this world, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages, this is speaking about the mystery, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So this was hidden from men. But then you look in verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So this hidden mystery is now on display. And all the demons are looking, man, we messed up. They look down, God is so much smarter than us. He totally fooled us. And in crucifying and killing him, we defeated ourselves. And the power that we held over man is permanently beaten. His victory he offers to his children over the power of sin and the devil. So this wisdom is not of the it's not like the wisdom of this world. It's not like the rulers of this world. It's not like God wants you to make it in this world to a high position. Let's see the contrast here. Not the rulers of this world. And then he says in verse 6 at the end, speaking of the wisdom and the rulers, who are coming to nothing. You see, we idolize the wisdom of this world and the rulers of this world sometimes. Paul's saying, wake up. Don't do that. They're coming to nothing. It doesn't add up. It doesn't work in the end. They fall short. They're coming to nothing. And then our final point is the application. If it's not the wisdom of this world, how? If we can't receive it with our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts in a physical way, it can't be taught in a physical way, can't receive it as a natural man, how do we get it? I want some of this wisdom. How do we receive the wisdom of God? And that's explained beginning in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, it's spiritually received, spiritually imparted, spiritually received. And we're going to look at the Spirit and how the Spirit gives us wisdom. And the first thing we see about the Spirit, first of all, is that the Spirit is capable of effectively endowing the wisdom of God, giving us the wisdom of God. He says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Who knows God? Who understands God? That's a question that's brought up in the Bible a lot. You know, God spoke to Job. You think you understand me, Job? You understand how lightning works? You understand how all those stars are up there? Can you count them all? You don't understand me. You don't know me. That's in Isaiah, that's in the Psalms, and over again, God says, you guys cannot understand me. And even the most brilliant man cannot understand the knowledge of God, but the Spirit of God, it knows God. It understands all the deep things of God. God's Spirit effectively possesses all of the wisdom of God. So as God pours out His Spirit on us and makes a spiritual connection, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, or vice versa, our spirit bears witness with His Spirit, we have a connection and access to all the wisdom of God. We can't receive all the wisdom of God from a man. He doesn't know it. But the Spirit does. It searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Trying to explain this point better. I can try to get to know somebody. I can look at him. I can watch him. I can talk to him. But I can't fully understand the depth of who that person is from outside. See, His Spirit is the real Him. And His Spirit understands and knows. And deep inside of Him, how what He thinks and His character and the motivations and who He is for real. All the deep things of the man. It's the Spirit that knows that. It's not the body, and it's not anything that can be observed in a non-spiritual way. And in the same way, the Spirit of a man is what understands the true man. So, he says in verse 11, the second part, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You can back up and look to God, and you can hear God speak, and you can read about God, but you could never understand who God really is, unless it's a spiritual connection. His Spirit is the way He communicates His wisdom to us. And then the second point, and it's good news. Look in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We know that God has given us His Spirit. When we're born again, He pours out His Spirit inside of us. This isn't something that we hope for. This is something, as believers, is biblical. It's fact. God has given us His Spirit. So, we should get excited. God's Spirit can effectively communicate to us all the deep things, all the wisdom of God. And that Spirit is inside of us. He says, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So, we're already set up. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior by faith and been born again, if you're a believer, you're in the perfect position to receive the wisdom of God. Because you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And that's how He teaches us, freely gives us the knowledge of the things He's given us. That's good news. Next point we see in verse 13, that teaching the things of God, the Word of God, needs to be done spiritually. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, as we go to church and we study the Bible, we need to make it a spiritual thing. I've seen many times, and I've done many times myself, people try to approach the God in an intellectual way, approach the Bible and God. And they'll try to learn Bible doctrines, and they'll try to memorize and understand. And Paul's saying, no, if it's the Spirit that's going to give us the wisdom, then we need to approach it spiritually. It needs to be taught spiritually. We need to compare spiritual things with spiritual. If you don't make a spiritual connection, if you don't read God's Word and look to Him and open your heart to Him and to His Spirit within you, then you're not going to receive the wisdom of God, the deep things of God, what He wants to impart to you. You may get a worldly wisdom understanding of the Bible. That does you no good. That can be a bad thing. I think people who have a mental understanding of the Bible with no spiritual connection are the hardest. They have the hardest hearts because they've heard it, they're used to it, and they're used to not responding to it. And so, must compare spiritual things with spiritual. Teach, learn, approach God in a spiritual way. But the natural man does not receive the things of God, or the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor because they are not spiritually discerned, nor can he know them because they are not spiritually discerned, verse 14. So apart from a spiritual approach, you cannot receive it. It's foolishness, the whole idea, the whole concept. And if you find yourself struggling, or you see someone struggling, you can't force a person to open their heart to God. And you can't make something it work for you if your heart's not open to God. Like, this just doesn't seem to work. This just doesn't seem to make sense to my life. I've done that, frustrated. How am I supposed to do what God says? It doesn't make any sense. You can't do it if your heart's not there, trying to make it work. Then finally, verses 15 and 16 in closing. I got a little note here for the last point of the Spirit. The spiritual life is genius, unprecedented. Look in verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. If we can tap into this, if we can truly apply this correctly and open our hearts to God, and receive from His Spirit to our spirit what He's saying, what He wants to give us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to lead to us. He wants to impart to us His wisdom. If we can get that, He who is spiritual judges all things. That's the answer for everything. That's the answer for all of our problems. It's found through that pathway. That spiritual pathway. He's got the answer for us. In the fifth verse of the first chapter, he says that you are enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Everything you need to know, everything you need to say is in him. So that he who is spiritual judges all things. It all works for him. He's able to make the right choice. He's able to know what he's supposed to do on a spiritual level, because he's got the wisdom of God. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. See, there's no one who can contradict or judge or condemn you. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you're able to tap into that, and that's what we should, this is what he's saying, the mature things. Speaking to the mature, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, the deep things of God. If we can grow to the point where we learn to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, then we're right. And no one can tell us we're wrong, because we're doing what God's saying through His Spirit. He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So that same point, who knows what God's thinking? Who knows the mind of the Lord? But through this connection, this spiritual connection, we have the mind of Christ. That seems just totally way out there. But one more cross reference. If you turn to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. See, it just doesn't say it once. God wants us to have the mind of Christ. Now, we can't receive that with our ears or our eyes. But through His Spirit, He can pour out His Spirit into us. And we can start to think like God. That sounds really weird. Don't take it farther than it means. But the wisdom of God, God wants to impart to us, can somehow integrate into our thought process, spiritually connecting to where we begin to understand. Like John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, do you think John the Baptist knew exactly what he was talking about? I don't think he intellectually knew, but spiritually he knew. There was a connection. Why did I just say that he's the Lamb of God? I don't know, but he's the Lamb of God. He wasn't second-guessing himself. He wasn't like, oops, I shouldn't have said that. Let's say the Son of God. No, he spiritually, if you believe in him, you'll have eternal life. What does that mean? Do you think John the Baptist knew exactly? Probably not intellectually, but his spirit was connected. I don't know, that if you believe in him, we can have that same connection. Because God's Spirit is poured out on inside of us. So in closing, to sum up this whole thing, try to encourage us all. Dive in, man. Press into the deep things of God. Mature, grow in all the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of God. Go deeper. The Bible teaches that there's the unsearchable riches of Christ. No matter how much we learn, how much we connect to God spiritually and walk in the Spirit, there's still so much more to be learned. So much more we can grow. So much deeper we can go into the wisdom of God. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Dive in, man. We have the wisdom of God available to us through His Spirit. And it'll bring all the wisdom of this world to shame. It's that much greater. Let's pray. Father, we look to you and we hold up these things that we've been going over. We hold up this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we have these words that we're trying to read and understand. But I pray that you would open our hearts. I pray that you'd quicken our spirits, so that we would receive what you're trying to impart to us spiritually. Father, we want to receive the wisdom of God, the wisdom that you offer. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to live in the Spirit. Help us. Help us learn to grow, to mature, to dive into the deep things of God. I know so oftentimes you're frustrated with my immaturity and ignorance. Be patient with us, we pray. And give us a passion and a zeal to continue to go forward. And appreciate all that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.